Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 31 August 2025, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In verse 28, we studied the principle that to love God, you have to know God. And the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the unique person of the living and true God. God is one in essence and three in personality. He is the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the three persons of the Godhead have that same unique essence, attributes. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, veracity. And to love God, you have to know this unique essence of God. And we are starting with the attribute of the sovereignty of God. And we have noted that sovereignty means that God is the supreme ruler of the universe. Psalm 83:18, 1 Samuel 2:6 through 8. And that sovereignty means that there is only one God. There is only one Lord over all. Isaiah 45:5 and 6. And third, sovereignty means that God has absolute authority. 1 Chronicles 29:11 to 13, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 6. Now point four. Sovereignty also means that God is the King of heaven and earth. Sovereignty means that God is the King of heaven and earth. Turn over to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 2. Psalm 47, verse 2. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. And then turn over to Psalm 93. Psalm 93, verse 1, the Lord reigns. He reigns as King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. So sovereignty means that God is the King of heaven and earth. 5. Sovereignty means that God has absolute volition. God has absolute volition. And this means that God is self-determining. This means God has perfect freedom to do whatever He wills. Sovereignty means that God is free to do whatever He wills. Turn over to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven, and He does whatever pleases Him. He does whatever pleases Him. So sovereignty means that God has absolute volition, and God is free to do whatever He wills. 6. The sovereignty of God is infinite. The sovereignty of God is infinite. Turn over to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 1, Psalm of David, human author. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. The sovereignty of God is infinite. 7, the sovereignty of God is eternal. The sovereignty of God is eternal. Turn over to Psalm 93. The sovereignty of God is eternal. Psalm 93. Verse 1. The Lord reigns as King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. So the sovereignty of God is eternal. Psalm 93, 1 and 2. 8, the sovereignty of God is related to the divine decree. The sovereignty of God is related to the divine decree. Turn over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose, the divine decree, will stand, and I will do all that I please. And then turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, the divine decree, interposed with an oath. 9. Sovereignty of God guarantees a plan for the royal family. The sovereignty of God guarantees a plan for the royal family. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, He, God the Father, predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the grace purpose of His will, God the Father's will. So the sovereignty of God is related to the divine decree. 9 was the sovereignty of God guarantees a plan for the royal family, Ephesians 1:5. 10, the sovereignty of God means that man can do nothing for God, but God has done everything for man. The sovereignty of God means that man can do nothing for God, but God has done everything for man. Turn over to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Verse 25, neither is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything from us, since He Himself gives to all life and breath and thee all things. Great passage. The sovereignty of God means that man can do nothing for God, but God has done everything for man. Acts 17, 24 and 25. 11. The sovereignty of God is absolute. The sovereignty of God is absolute. And this relates the sovereignty of God to the perfections of the rest of His attributes. The sovereignty of God is absolute, and therefore He is under no external restraint whatsoever. And this also relates the sovereignty of God to the divine decree. The sovereignty of God is absolute, and therefore He is the supreme dispenser of all events. All forms of existence are within the scope of his dominion. 12. However, absolute sovereignty does not abrogate the freedom of choice of mankind. Absolute sovereignty does not abrogate the freedom of choice of mankind. You have a volition. God gave you a volition. He gave you that volition to make decisions, either for him or against him, either to believe in him for eternal salvation or reject him. And then after you believe in him, to choose for him and his word and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, he gave you the freedom to make him the number one priority in your life. And he also gave you the freedom to say, no, everything else is more important in my life. But he gave you the freedom to make that good decisions or bad decisions. But he gave you the freedom to make those. So rather, absolute sovereignty includes the fact that man has freedom of choice and that he is a free moral agent. You are all free moral agents. But remember this, the living and true God hold you responsible for the decisions you make. He gave you free will. But the living and true God holds you, every one of you, responsible for the decisions that you make. 13. Absolute sovereignty includes the fact that we are the products of our own decisions. Absolute sovereignty includes the fact that we are the products of our own decisions, and we're not the victims of environment. God has seen fit from his absolute sovereignty to include freedom of choice as a part of his perfect plan. 14. Absolute sovereignty means that God rules the universe in perfect justice and wisdom and grace. Absolute sovereignty means that God rules the universe in perfect justice and wisdom and grace. And therefore, what's the application then of the sovereignty of God to your life? What's the application of the sovereignty of God to your life? First, the sovereignty of God, then, is the source of great confidence for you in your life. The sovereignty of God is the source of great confidence for you in your life. How does it give you great confidence? Two, the sovereignty of God guarantees the fact that nothing is out of God's control. Nothing's out of God's control. When you know that, that gives you great confidence in your life, because that guarantees the fact that nothing is out of God's control. Third, sovereignty of God means Jesus Christ controls history. Jesus Christ controls history. Yes, it is true that the current ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel named Satan, but Jesus Christ controls history. Four, it also guarantees the fact that God's plans always triumph. God's plans always triumph. When you are living God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, you're a winner. When you choose your own plan, will, and purpose for your life, you're a loser. But it guarantees the fact that God's plans always triumph. Five, God is a winner. And God will never lose. He is the sovereign God. God is a winner. He will never lose. And therefore, when your free will lines up with the sovereign will of God, you will also be a winner in life. God is a winner. He will never lose. And therefore, when your free will lines up with the sovereign will of God, you will be a winner in your life. Understanding the sovereignty of God will motivate you to fulfill your royal priesthood. We have all been commissioned a royal priest. You represent yourself before the living and true God. So understanding the sovereignty of God will motivate you to fulfill your royal priesthood and represent yourself before God. And He also will motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So that's a part of understanding and knowing who and what God is. Knowing the essence of God. To know God is to love God. If you're going to love God, you have to know God. This is a part of the essence of God. Sovereignty. Also a part of the essence of God is righteousness. Righteousness. So let's take a look at that. First of all, the righteousness of God means that there is an absolutely perfect norm and standard in the very essence of God. There is an absolutely perfect norm and standard in the very essence of God. And that perfect norm and standard in God's essence is His absolute righteousness, plus R. We put it down, plus R. Absolute righteousness. So the righteousness of God means there is an absolutely perfect norm and standard in the very essence of God. And that perfect norm and standard is God's essence. In His essence, it's His absolute righteousness. Two, the absolute righteousness of God means that God has a norm and standard in His essence, which is the sum total of perfection and honesty and integrity and character and virtue. The righteousness of God means that God has a norm and standard in His essence, which is the sum total of perfection and honesty and integrity and character and virtue. Three, God's norm and standard of absolute righteousness means absolute perfection and intrinsic goodness. God's norm and standard of absolute righteousness means absolute perfection and intrinsic goodness. Turn over to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and righteous. Absolute righteousness of God means intrinsic goodness. Good and righteous is the Lord, and therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. And then turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is intrinsic goodness, intrinsically good. Happiness is to the man who takes refuge in him. And that is occupation with Jesus Christ. And turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 68. You are intrinsically good, and what you do is intrinsically good. Teach me your decrees. Bible doctrine, the Word of God. So God's norm and standard of absolute righteousness means absolute perfection and intrinsic goodness. Psalm 25, 8. Psalm 34, 8. Psalm 119, 68. Well, this is a part of learning about the essence of God. To know God is to love God. And Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God. If you're going to love God, you have to know God. You have to know who and what he is, his essence, his attributes. We have seen the sovereignty of God in detail. Now we're looking at the righteousness of God. All of this is a part that you need, the winner believer need to understand. And hope you all love God. I hope you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I hope he is the number one priority in your life. First and foremost. And when that's true, why, now you are glorifying God to the maximum. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.